And that is hit well into right center field. Reddick does a good job of cutting it off, but it's deep enough to score Bobby Witt Jr. and Brett Phillips. So the two walks lead to two runs, and now it's 3-2 in the third.
Well, the Royals. Well, let's go Royals. Yeah, 15-6 yesterday. They, in fact, didn't even play the whole game. They stopped with two outs in the ninth because Royals pitchers had thrown over 200 pitches. Sounds like K-18 or Pee Wee Baseball. Lots of pitching and so forth. Wow. 15 runs, 17 hits. Yeah, that's been the question I've had all along. Like, who's going to pitch for this team? Brad Keller isn't going to be ready for opening day after having COVID-19. He's supposedly your number one starter. Danny Duffy is your two starter, and we know he hasn't lived up to expectations, inconsistent. Jacob Junis is a three starter on this team, and to me, he's a four or five on any other team for the most part. And then Mike Montgomery is a castaway from the Cubs, so he's your fourth or fifth starter. He might not even start for some teams. And then who in the world's your fifth starter? Glenn Sparkman, not the answer. Doesn't appear. Jorge Lopez, not the answer. Yikes. The Royals can do all they want, but until they get pitching, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what they got in the bullpen right now, but, man, it doesn't matter if they can't get to the closer.
No, not at all.
It's just two exhibition games, I know, but, man, 15-6 last night. Now, one of the big pauses is Bobby Witt Jr. looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not going to be on the opening day roster because they're going to service time and everything else, I would imagine. But he looks really good. Looks good at the plate and great defense there at third, but I don't think he's part of the plan right now. But he has been fun to watch. All right, speaking of fun to watch, I got some Pee Wee baseball teams from the area moving on to state semifinals.
Yes, quarterfinals last night in Concordia. The first two quarters, it was Washington over Concordia Chevy Buick 13-3, and the Smith Center Chiefs beat Lynn 13-3. And then in the second two quarters, Concordia Lions over Belleville 3-0. The Beloit Hornets are moving on to the semifinals with an 8-5 win over Wakanda last night there in Concordia. So semifinals will take place on Thursday. They'll have this evening off and get back at it Thursday night there in Concordia. These matchups will be played at Meyer Field there in Concordia. Smith Center Chiefs against Beloit Hornets at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And Washington takes on Concordia Lions at 8:30 approximately. They're on Thursday in Concordia. So Pee Wee State tournament brackets are updated. You can find them at ncksports.com.
All right. Good luck to those teams that continue to compete and going for a state championship. Let's see. The Royals will be back in action coming up this afternoon in St. Louis. Jesse Hahn on the hill for the boys in blue. And then they will have Thursday, tomorrow, well, they travel probably today or tomorrow to Cleveland, and then get ready for the opener coming up on Friday against the Indians if it does proceed as scheduled. Sporting KC today scored a goal 51 seconds in this morning. Yeah, they're playing this morning. They scored 51 seconds in. They're up 1-0. At halftime, it's 1-0. So you got that first goal. So if you didn't get there in time to sit down, well, there's no fans.
Yeah.
But if you didn't get in time to watch it, you know, tune in on TV this morning, and you got a couple minutes late, you missed the only goal that happened.
Yes.
And then you watched all the boring stuff for the rest of the way. 1-0. Sporting KC is up on Real Salt Lake at halftime down in, that's Orlando, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Orlando. And then, of course, you got the NBA in Orlando and everything else. So Sporting KC off to a decent start. This is kind of a cool story. You know, we talk about how everything's related to COVID, but this one is not. President Donald Trump is awarding the nation's highest civilian honor to Jim Ryan, former Kansas congressman who was the first high school runner to clock a mile in under 4 minutes. Trump is scheduled to honor the three-time Olympian and legendary University of Kansas distance runner with the Presidential Medal of Freedom at the White House coming up on Friday. The Wichita native entered the record books in 1964 at the age of 17 by becoming the first high school runner to break the four-minute barrier in the mile with a time of 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Ryan is now 73, went on to compete in three Olympic Games, winning a silver medal in 1968 in Mexico. He later served 10 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. The White House said Ryan is one of the most accomplished American runners. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to individuals who have made all kinds of contributions to the security or national interests of the United States, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. And during his time at KU, Ryan broke several school and world records during what many considered to be the heyday of track and field at KU. And he was named the Sportsman of the Year by Sports Illustrated. Jim Ryan was back in 1966. He was inducted in the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in 1977, the National Track and Field Hall of Fame in 1980, and the National Distance Running Hall of Fame in 2003. So pretty cool stuff. Jim Ryan gained the Presidential Medal of Freedom at the White House coming up on Friday. Congrats.
Yeah, finally legendary for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Okay, now we have to get into the other stuff that we don't really want to get into, but it is what it is. Texas high school football will be played this fall, according to a release from the University Interscholastic League, the state's governing body for public high schools, said. The announcement comes one day after California high schools delayed their high school football schedule to December or January. And the fall schedule won't be uniform as is in the past in Texas. Conferences 1A through 4A, or classes, I don't know, they might call it conferences down there, 1A through 4A are going to begin practices August 3rd and have games on August 27th, keeping with their previous schedule. However, the bigger schools, conferences 5A and 6A, which tend to be in more densely populated areas, will delay their season by about a month, and they're going to begin practices on September 7th and games on September 24th. As a result, numerous games among different conferences, more than 100 by one count, are effectively canceled. There's no cut and dry rules, though, and city-by-city schedules may look different based on outbreaks in the area. Of course, Houston's a hot spot, as we know, and Texas has got a lot of cases. So that's the plan for the state of Texas. The Southwestern Athletic Conference has announced, this is college football now, that it will continue to suspend all sports through the fall season, following the leads of the Ivy League and others as well. The SWAC is made up of 10 schools from the south central area of the country that span across Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Texas. Some of those schools include Grambling State, Jackson State, Alabama State, Alcorn State, to name just a few, Texas Southern, Arkansas, Pine Bluff. They are looking at playing an abbreviated version of its schedule in early 2021 with a seven-game slate. So basically they are talking football in the spring in the SWAC with seven games. That's how they are going to go about it. This breaking on Twitter here in the last half hour or so, the governor of New Mexico is asking New Mexico and New Mexico State to cancel football this fall based on the state's increase in positive COVID cases between ages 20 and 39. New Mexico governor states it is critical you postpone collegiate athletics in this moment of escalating danger. So that coming from New Mexico. And this is not necessarily a sports-related note, but since I already have it here, Sedgwick County has issued an order closing all bars and limiting gatherings of 15 or fewer people. If you don't know what Sedgwick County is, of course, Wichita is the main focus there with that new order issued by the county. Yeah, lots of good news, right? Lots of good news. Okay, so here's an interesting story that I came across on Sports Illustrated. And this is another reason why I don't think we're going to have college football. I'm not very hopeful about college football. Mark Johnson, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, we had on last week, says, just it depends on the day when you ask me. And that day he was optimistic, but he said, you can ask me a day later, and I don't know. I'm not extremely hopeful there will be college football. And I know other people that I've talked to in the media don't feel that way either. And I don't think you feel like it's very likely we're going to have college football.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Mark Johnson, you know, one day what I hear, yeah, we might, and then the next, nah, it's not looking good.
Right. Well, here's one of the biggest problems with college football. The stringent contact tracing protocol is a massive challenge to college football. With high-risk contacts to the virus subject to a mandatory 14-day quarantine, is a college football season even possible? Stephen Goodman is an associate dean and professor of etymology at Stanford. He knows medicine. And he's done some studies, so forth and so on. His sports knowledge isn't quite as deep, but he does follow sports and so forth and so on. And they've been looking at this, and he says, one athletic director has said this, are you telling me a contact is you and I lining up against each other on the football field and you block or tackle me and 2 days later I come down with the virus and you're out? Then you're not going to finish a college football season if that's the case. The Power Five's in-season virus plan, along with NCAA's own in-season guidelines, it released last week, is drawing concerns from both college athletic leaders and physicians alike. At issue is that mandatory 14-day quarantine as part of the contact tracing section of the plan. Some around college football believe the quarantine time to be so long and the definition of a high-risk contact to be so cautious that completing a season is basically virtually impossible. One SEC assistant coach described the contact tracing portion of the guidelines as overwhelming. A Pac-12 team doctor calls the issue a massive challenge. And West Virginia athletic director Shane Lyons even went on an NCAA video news conference posing a chilling question last week to the audience listening. How can we play the game of football and with contact tracing and not lose the entire team? According to both the Power 5 and NCAA guidelines, those who test positive for COVID-19 must isolate for at least 10 days from the onset of symptoms and positive test and until they've gone at least 3 days without symptoms. However, those found to have contact with the infected must miss even more time, 2 full weeks, even if they test negative for the virus. COVID-19 is known to produce delayed infection. Most people get sick 5 to 7 days from the time of contraction, but research has also found that some don't show signs until day 14, which makes it tough. Now, to go one step further, the NFL, what about them? This is interesting. Cleveland Browns center J.C. Treader laid this out last week. Here's his example. It's a hypothetical. He is a center. He snaps the ball. He's on the offensive line. He'd be in the huddle if they have huddles. He says, and I quote, if the center tests positive on a Friday and there's a quarantine period for all of his close contacts, well, if I just came from practice where I've been in a huddle with all my offensive teammates, been doing individual drills with all my linemen, then blocking the defensive linemen and linebackers all afternoon, aren't we talking about 35 guys being close contacts with me? And if they're all in quarantine for the next couple of days, what does Sunday's game look like? You don't have enough bodies to put on the field to play. Now, if this ever came to fruition, let's say there's a hot spot in NFL for a particular team, they'd have to forfeit. So now imagine something like this, or the game wouldn't be played. What if you have two teams that got problems? Let's say the Rams and the Seahawks play in a very tough division. You get the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, the Cardinals should be better. What happens if the Rams and Seahawks have a game where they don't play? Okay, so at the end of the season, San Francisco plays 16 games, but Seattle only plays 15.
Yeah.
And Seattle finished a half game behind San Francisco, but they beat San Francisco twice head-to-head. But they have a worse record. There's that competitive imbalance type of thing that we could talk about. I don't know the answers. I really don't. I think it's a great hypothetical. I think it's very possible. It really is very possible. And that's another reason why I think some people think the NFL might not have a season either. We do know this for sure. There is no preseason for the NFL.
Yes.
No preseason. The NFL agreeing to that. The NFLPA and the NFL. So there will be no preseason. And also roster sizes for training camp are expected to be set at 80 players to start camp, which is down 10 from the traditional 90-man rosters. The union is also pushing for a longer ramp-up period in camp. And there are general agreements on voluntary and high-risk opt-outs, along with agreements on stipends if games are lost. Been a great deal of movement and negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA the last 24 to 48 hours. They've come to an agreement on Monday to conduct daily testing for the first 2 weeks of training camp. That's one of the final major health and safety hurdles that had to be worked out. And, of course, now talking no preseason games. So that's the latest with the National Football League. And we'll see if we actually get football or not. What are your thoughts on all of this stuff that we just dropped?
That's what one of the things that Gene Taylor was talking about right away was, how are we going to work with contact tracing? Like, what does that all mean? Like, we don't understand all of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when K-State had to, you know, pause for 14 days there earlier when they got back for their voluntary workouts, he's like, we don't understand all the contact tracing yet. So that is an issue. Does the NFL have the same protocols as the NCAA as far as contact tracing? It sounds like if that's part of the story, they might. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that is just, I don't know which way I feel about it, you know? Like,
no one knows where
it's almost like if you're that age and you're asymptomatic, and if you stay within your group, then do they all need the quarantine, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, like you said, you might not feel any symptoms until day 14.
Mm-hmm.
And know that you actually do have symptoms for COVID-19. So there's so much there that we just don't know about yet. And we've been talking about that for a long time. Even 4 months into this thing here in this country, we don't know everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's tough about all this. If you try to ask my opinion about how I feel about this or that in my brain or in my mind, it's like, if you're asymptomatic, just go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that level of an athlete, you know.
Right.
But the same time, you know, you can't just expect them to go out and play and then stay away from everybody when you're not in an actual bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue, too. So I don't know. As far as the other part of the NFL things, I think no preseason was the obvious way to go with that.
Right.
It's kind of a bad deal for maybe your undrafted free agents this year that are trying to make a name for themselves. It's going to be kind of tough to do that just in practices, I would think, to not actually see them play. And that's only probably about, you know, six or seven spots at the end of the roster once you actually have your 53-man or whatever set up. But, you know, that's the only issue I would have with no preseason. But other than that, I think the NFL is doing the right things right now as far as trying to do what they can to actually have a season. But if contact tracing is the same in the NFL as it is college football, how are you going to have an NFL season? So all that stuff's just in your mind, and you just wonder what's actually going to happen with it.
The NFL
less optimistic with those kind of stories, anyway.
Right. The NFLPA revealed 59 players have tested positive for COVID-19 at some point ahead of training camp. 59. Original number was 95, but there were like executives, but people that weren't players.
Yeah, I saw that 95, and then it's like they're including Ezekiel Elliott and Von Miller, and I'm like, well, this is kind of a misleading title.
Again, right? We go to this stuff here, where when they've already, you know, been not,
all
they've
these
beat it or
actually,
they've recovered, that shouldn't count.
Yes.
One of the most annoying things in this whole thing just really, really irks me is the way people report the cases. You should quit talking about the total cases. Because
especially when you're talking about the first round of testing,
yes,
for NFL rookies that,
right,
are going to get tested.
Right.
When I see 95, I'm thinking, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of players. And then it's like, no, it's not even all players, like you said,
mm-hmm,
in that 95 number. And it's at least half of those are probably not even active right now.
Right. Exactly. It's just, like, for instance, I just went to the CDC. Total cases, 3.8 million. 57,777 new cases compared to yesterday's data. Total deaths, 140,630. 473 new deaths compared to yesterday's data. But where's the recoveries? Where are the inactives? You know, and I'm sure there's somewhere. There is. I know there's somewhere.
You gotta dig for it.
But you gotta dig, exactly. You should be able to find that right away.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the CDC. So, that's what really bothers me. It, you know, we've talked about even locally. You know, you know, Mitchell County, I don't know what their latest numbers are now. As of Friday morning, which I'm sure it's changed, there's 18 active cases. But there was 22 total. Well, the 22 total, those four shouldn't even apply anymore. Because that was back in March.
Yeah.
Or early April. I mean, that seems like 2 years ago. It was only 3 months ago or whatever it was. 4 months since we started this whole thing back on about March 13th. And that's what's really annoying to me, because no matter, I mean, if one more person gets COVID-19 today, obviously the number's going to go up. But really, my question is, what I would like to see is how many people have recovered and how many people have got it. And then what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to know. I don't need to know how many new cases. I mean, new cases, fine, I get it. But then how many people are actually, you know, recovered from it today?
Yeah.
We never hear that. We just never hear that. It's just all doom and
gloom.
It's
almost like they think, well, there's this many cases and this many deaths. Just subtract and that'll tell you how many recovered. And no, that's not the case, because there's still active cases. I want to know actual recovered cases compared to active cases.
Right.
Those are the numbers you need. What you need is, on a daily update, would be active,
yeah,
recovered,
yes,
and probably deaths too. Probably want to put that on your daily,
right,
update.
Yes.
Other than that, total cases don't mean anything to me right now.
Now you start to wonder, because like when I put in for this country, I don't get the numbers I want right away. But if I put in world coronavirus numbers on Google, right away I do get what I want for the most part.
Yeah.
So for instance, the world cases are 15 million. 214,000 new ones apparently in the last 24 hours, but recovered 8.47 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Deaths, 617,000. This is for the world, right?
Yeah.
The United States, I can't get it from the CDC as easy, but I get it here from, what is this source? I don't know, but it's a worldwide numbers. U.S. is 3.97 million confirmed cases. Recovered 1.16. So not quite a third. 27% of the confirmed cases have recovered. 144,000 deaths, according to this. Now, the other one, the CDC, showed 140,000 deaths. So there's a 4,000 death discrepancy.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing that's happening, too, is COVID deaths are being counted when people have other stuff. And it's like, so is it really, like somebody told me yesterday that the flu numbers and pneumonia numbers are down. Well, if you get somebody that comes in and they've got all this, they just automatically, if they have COVID, it's like a default mechanism. You just default and put, all right, it's COVID. It's COVID. That's the cause of death, or that's the case is COVID. Yeah, but you know why they're in the hospital? Yeah, COVID. Yeah, but they also got pneumonia, or they got this, they got that, they got lung cancer. And you just don't hear about that stuff. You have no idea. Like when you get these stories about, well, you know, such a person, I remember the one story a few months ago I told you about. Well, this lady lost her husband and her son to COVID-19. They don't tell you the ages of the people. They don't tell you what they did for a living. They don't tell you if they had pre-existing health conditions. And they don't tell you if they had something else that was wrong with them, which is pre-existing health conditions. You don't, did they smoke? Did they do, you don't know. You just have no idea.
Yeah.
And so, you know, was her husband 89 and her son was 70? That changes the narrative for me.
Yeah.
But if her husband was 52 and her son was 23, okay, that's a whole different game, isn't it?
Sure.
So information is important. Knowledge is power. And also misinformation is power. And that's the thing that's really irritating to me. I don't even know what to believe anymore. But when I go to CDC and I can't right away find those numbers, I mean, we should be focused on the active cases. Yes, the deaths is a number. I get that. Deaths, active cases, and you should look at recoveries. I mean, that's, to me, that's what it should be.
Yes.
And instead, all we do is like, oh, there's more cases and there's more deaths. And I'm not trying to diminish what's happening in our country. Obviously, a lot of people have gotten it, and there have been people that have died from it. But I will say this. There are people that have died from the flu. People have died from pneumonia. People die in car accidents every day. And I know it's different because there's no vaccine. But as I've stated before, there's a vaccine for the flu, and it doesn't cure all the flu.
Yeah.
It's a strain of the flu. I know people have died of the flu because they have a different strain of the flu. Or I know people that there's a vaccine, and they refuse to get the vaccine or won't get the vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
Or don't feel they need it, which is fine. To each their own. I mean, I didn't get a flu shot. I haven't the last few years. You know why? Because I just really haven't thought about it.
I know, that's my deal. Is like, so, you run around, the time of the year to get a flu shot is basketball season, and it's like we're running every which way, and it's like, oh yeah, maybe I should have got a flu shot, and then by the time it's over, it's like, yeah, probably not going to be worth anything right now. So
right, right. And now Max is helping fill the show for us here.
There we go.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Max, I'm good. I'm glad you're listening. Max says, if no football, maybe the kneelers can make their point another way. Well, and that could be interesting. But here's the wild card to that. You have a platform in sports. If there is no sports, if an athlete goes out and just takes a knee in front of his house, that isn't going to do anything.
No.
So the reason that they do this is it's a platform. You got a focus on you as a team or an individual on the team. The San Francisco Giants baseball team, their manager and some players took a knee before their exhibition game the other day. I saw President Trump put out there that he's all for live sports again, but if somebody takes a knee, then he's out. And he has the right to that opinion, and I understand people's opinion on that. I've said this ad nauseum. I get and I understand both sides of it. I understand you have the right to – people fought for our country to give you the right to kneel during the anthem. I mean, that's your freedom and liberty that you have. You can do that. You can protest. No protest is – I've never heard of a protest that was – you know what? They did the protest the right way. No, the reason they're protesting because there's something that they feel is not right, whoever's protesting. It's never going to be – nobody's ever going to accept a protest and go, well, that's perfectly done. Well done. Unbelievable. That was the perfect protest. No, nobody's ever going to do that.
No.
Never. It's never going to happen. So people are trying to have their voices heard when they protest. And so I get both sides of it. But I will say, and listen, don't, if you take this the wrong way, then you're really not listening very clearly. Let me really spell it out for you. If you are someone that has the same view as the president, that, hey, live sports, that's great, I'm excited, but if there's somebody kneeling, then I'm out. I'm gonna give you a little dose of reality for anybody that says or thinks that. You might as well not bother trying to watch sports.
Yeah,
because right now it's gonna happen. Yeah. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen in every game, maybe every game of every sport, or some games, most games, it's going to happen. And here's the thing, if you don't actually watch the beginning of the game when the anthem, or they don't show it on TV, you're going to be watching a game not realizing that half the players already knelt and you're watching the game and you said you weren't because you don't know. So, listen, if you want live sports, that's going to be part of it. Whether you like it or not, that's part of it. And you absolutely, just like our president and anybody else, you have the right to say, I'm out. I'm not going to watch it if that happens. Now, I would like to sit in your back room, be a fly on the wall, and see if you really do that. Something tells me that people that do that won't actually do that. They say they will. But if you do, that is your right and your freedom and liberty to turn off the TV or the radio, whatever it is, and not watch a sporting event because one person or 20 people knelt during the anthem. You have a right to do that, as do the people have a right to kneel during the anthem. So I get so tired of this, it has to be my way or the highway, and to hell with everybody else on both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm just so sick of it. It's ridiculous. It's really, honestly, it's stupid, because all you're doing is spinning your wheels. You're like, what's that cartoon character? Is it not the road? Yeah, it's like it's Roadrunner, except Roadrunner never goes forward. You know, the beep, beep, and it's spinning in a circle, that legs are spinning. That's all you're doing. When you keep always pointing fingers at each side, and I'm talking both sides, you're not getting anything accomplished. You're getting nothing accomplished. And so when you sit here and go, well, I have the freedom and right to not watch it, you're absolutely correct. They also, the players or athletes or entertainers, have a right to do what they do, because the people that fought for our country gave us the right to do all of that.
Yeah.
So why can't we at least accept that part? But we can't, because, well, that doesn't fit my agenda. That doesn't fit my belief system. Well, that's your belief system. If everybody had the same belief system, this would be a really boring world now, wouldn't it? So
yes.
Just don't sit here, and odds are many people that have this belief system one way or the other, whether they're kneeling and fighting this injustice but then ignoring all other injustices, or you're sitting here and you're judging people for kneeling during the anthem, but then you're chewing gum and you don't stand attention when the anthem's being played. You're hypocrites, aren't you? On both sides? If you sit here and go, I'm against racial injustice, but you're okay with other injustices, it's somewhat contradictory, isn't it? I mean, you've got a cause, but shouldn't you be caring about all injustices, no matter what the color of the person's skin is? Right.
Yeah.
That's what people argue, and it's a good point. I mean, it is. I understand the Black Lives Movement and everything. I understand why they do it, why they say it that way. I get that. Some people don't. And on the flip side, it's like, but you got to respect the anthem and you got to do this and that. And I'm like, I know people that do that, and they don't pay attention during the anthem.
Yeah.
They don't stare at the flag. They're looking around. They're popping bubble gum bubbles. They don't have their hand over their heart, which I think's something that should be done. Some people have their hands behind their back. I could argue, well, you have to have your hand over your heart. That's the way I believe. That doesn't mean it has to be for everybody. Do I hate people? Do I despise people? Do I make fun of people? Do I get mad at people because they don't put their hand over their heart? No. No. And do I get mad when somebody kneels to the anthem? I don't. I don't anymore. And here's why. Because that I understand. And I think a lot of people need to try to understand both sides. I understand people that don't like others kneeling during the anthem. I totally get that. And I totally get people and why they are kneeling during the anthem. And that's the thing. We need more people in this world to try to understand both sides and meet in the middle, but we don't. And I'll repeat this one time. It's a person that actually served our country that came up with the idea for Colin Kaepernick to kneel. It wasn't Colin Kaepernick's idea to kneel. It was a white man who served our country, who had brothers of his on the battlefield that died, and it was his idea for Colin Kaepernick, instead of sitting on the bench isolated, to kneel. And he had his hand right on the shoulder of Colin Kaepernick the first game that he knelt in a preseason game in San Diego. It was Nate Boyer who was there to support him. But yet everybody wants to, well, they just ignore the facts. Or we'll ignore, how do you know it's a fact? Nate Boyer was on TV and I saw him say it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Hey, those words came out of his mouth.
There's pictures with Nate Boyer with his hand on the shoulder of Colin Kaepernick while he's kneeling. I know that is a fact. Okay? Don't even try to go, well, that was all made up. No, it wasn't. So, you know, you might want to get the right information before you go off. But here's the problem with that. In most cases, you don't know what the right information is. You don't know what is real. You don't know what is fake. You may think you know, but I'll bet you don't. I'll bet you every single person on this earth that has thrown some link to an article supporting their argument has posted an article that's full of crap. I'm sure I've done it. I'm sure Dusty's done it. I'm sure everyone's done it. Left, right, Republican, Democrat, black, blue, brown, white, whatever. We've all done it. And we have no idea we're spreading misinformation.
Yeah.
So we're all clueless, perhaps. You know, people point, well, they're clueless. They don't, what the heck are they? Maybe we're all clueless. And I would argue maybe we are all clueless because we don't want to come together and work together on things.
Yeah.
We want to point the finger. Now, maybe that's not really true. Maybe all we're getting is the people pointing fingers and we see all the bad stuff on social media. Maybe there's a lot more people that are smarter than all of us that stay off social media and are doing things to bring people together. And maybe they're the majority and the minority are the people that stay on Facebook all day long. That's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for my job, I would be off of Facebook for sure. And Twitter, I just was telling somebody last night, Twitter has always kind of been my favorite social platform.
Yeah.
I get a lot of useful information. I love that you limit characters so people just can't go on a 15-page rant on Facebook, which I've seen recently by people. I'm like, oh, my God, how much free time do you have? But whatever. You know, here's the thing. If it takes you half an hour to make your point on Facebook, you should have saved yourself the half hour. Okay? Because nobody's going to take the time to read a half hour essay on your belief or your thought.
That's why people have blogs.
Yeah, that's called a blog. And it's just, I mean, I mean, I'll see something, there's a response and it says see more, and I'll click just to see how long it is. There's one the other day. I was like, my eyes fell asleep before I even read a word of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my Lord. That's like 4 pages long. Whereas Twitter, there's at least a limit on characters.
Yeah.
But Twitter's becoming a vast wasteland of all this crud too. And it's annoying to me because Twitter I liked. And now I'm like, man, I almost get to the point where I don't want to be on Twitter. I don't want to be on Facebook. I don't want to be on social media. But because of our job, we tend to need to do that. And there are useful things for social media.
Yeah.
Good things can happen because of social media. And that goes back to our good news of the day. Sometimes we don't hear as much of the good stuff happening, no matter what it is, including social media. Maybe it's unfair to paint that type of light, cast that light on social media. Maybe it's not as bad as we think. It's just that all the people that happen to be your friends are putting all this stuff that's out there. I don't know. I just think, well, and Max says, how many players do you think will make their point another way if they don't have the platform with ball games? I have no idea. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
I have no idea
because I'll say this.
I don't know how you can.
I don't know if you don't have a platform, then you won't know if they are or they aren't.
Yeah, most
And Max, if you're listening, Max, in fairness to what you're asking, who's going to go to every athlete's house and see if they're kneeling? Because they might all do it. But because there's not a camera on them, you're going to sit here and go out there and say, well, see, there's nothing on TV that shows these guys kneeling, so it was just an empty gesture they just did for publicity. You would have no idea.
Yeah.
You would have no idea, completely speculating that all the players don't do anything for social injustice, racial injustice, or systemic racism, you'll have no idea. You know why? Because just because the cameras don't show it on television doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think we get caught up in society. Well, without seeing it on TV, it can't be true. You know, there's a lot of athletes. There's this thing. I'll go back to the NBA for a moment. There's been this thing about the NBA for some years is when something bad happens to an NBA player, they get called thugs. Because what happens in society? That negative story gets blown up and people want to read it. People want to click on the story. It's clickbait, whatever else. And so you read it. And so five NBA players get busted for drugs, or one NBA player, you know, was accused of murder or whatever it might be. And just immediately people just like, well, it's just a bunch of thugs. And what you don't know is David Robinson does great things in San Antonio. You don't know that all these players do unbelievable stuff with the NBA Cares program. They're not following those people, those players, around 24/7 to see and record all the great things they do. But because you didn't see it, does that mean they don't do great things? Of course not.
No.
So if you don't see them kneeling and there's no games, does that mean that they're not doing something in regards to what they are protesting? Of course not. Now, does it mean they are? Well, we don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know that. So it's an impossible, that's an impossible question to answer. How many people do you think would be doing that? Hell, I don't know. You take a guess as much as
can.
I do.
Yeah,
I mean, how in the world can you come up with a fair estimate? I mean, I would have to figure out, you know, how many players actually play. And then if I figure a percentage, I have no idea. I will say this. I think there are some players that... I think some players do it, they follow the crowd at times, and I think that's true of any protest.
Yeah.
People latch on to something, just like you have bandwagon fans. You know, the Royals were sucked for so long, and all of a sudden, they're Royals fans I never knew were Royals fans,
yeah.
Right? And then there's people that I didn't know that was what they were for, and all of a sudden they join a protest because that's the chic thing to do, or maybe is a popular thing, and they're not truly invested. And I think that's where Max is going with this.
Yeah.
And I get what Max is saying, totally get what Max is saying. So, Max, if you're listening, I do understand what you're saying. I'm not arguing, Max, at all.
There's just no way to quantify it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no way to quantify it. So his guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. But here's the thing. I think it's true of anything. I think it's true that you have people that have jumped on board a movement that truly aren't fully into the movement. And I think Max could be very well right. There are some athletes, very much so, that could end up not doing anything. It's just for show. I'm sure there are people that do that.
Yeah.
It's not just athletes. Other people across the country, you know, very much could be. Like, okay, you marched, but did you do anything after the march? Or did you just march? Okay? And there, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. So because you go to church, does that mean you do unbelievable things in the community? I know people that don't go to church that do more than people that go to church. You don't go to church. Does that mean that you're not as religious as other people? Well, that depends on your belief system, but there are people that I know that do a heck of a lot more for their communities, and people go to church sometimes just to go to church to say, I went to church, and don't even know what the priest talked about, or the minister, or the pastor. So that's, in a way, following the crowd. You feel better by going, but you didn't learn anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you sat in the back pew, the middle pew, the front pew, you didn't hear anything. Well, maybe that's the same way with protest. If you got a movement... All right, there are people that truly, truly believe in what they're fighting for, and they're going to do stuff after the marches are over and the protests, no doubt about it. And there are going to be people that, I agree with Max, there are going to be athletes that are going to be, and other entertainers or whoever it may be, that are going to go back home, and they're going to go back to their regular lives, and they can say, I feel better because I marched. Sure, that's possible. It's possible to any protest. I mean, you know, you sit here and you follow the crowd. I mean, sometimes people follow the crowd. And, I'm a Royals fan. Now the Royals lost 100 games. Well, now suddenly I'm not a Royals fan.
Yeah, those Royals fans in 2014 and 15, some of them probably don't even know who Jorge Soler is.
Probably not.
Let me be honest, and he's got the home run record now.
And they probably don't know who Dick Houser is, and they probably don't know anything about the 85 World Series championship team. And they don't know anything about, I don't know, couldn't tell you who Hal McRae is.
Yeah.
And some might not even be able to tell you Bo Jackson played for the Royals. I mean... It's just that way. That's society and how it is. So when Max asks how many people you think would actually do it a different way, I have no clue. But I'll be willing to bet you that there are many that kneel during the anthem that are doing more than just kneeling. And I'll bet you there are many people that are kneeling or marching in protest that aren't doing a lot. So I think, and that applies, I think, to about anything in life in regards to if there's a movement or a protest. We talked about it as fans. There's the bandwagon fans, this and that. There's probably a movement where people, you know, oh, yeah, the heck with sports because they're kneeling. And you don't mean it. You just say it because that's the proper thing to say. I mean, I think I truly believe, I don't want to make this political, but I truly believe there are people that follow the Democratic Party, not because really that they're invested, but they just don't like the Republican Party. And I think there are people that follow the Republican Party that aren't really supporters of the current regime at all, but are like, I'd rather be over here, even though I really don't know fully exactly what I believe in. But as long as I'm not over there, I'm good. And you don't help your own movement or help your own party. So it applies in politics, it applies in society, it applies in sports in regards to, does everybody that, you know, do some people just talk? I think what Max is really saying is, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? I think that's what Max is really basically saying.
Yeah.
If you are, you know, how many of these people that are athletes or anybody that protest, or how about politicians? They run for office and they tell you all these things they're going to do and they promise you this left and right. Are they all talk or are they full of bull? Are they all talk until they get elected, and then once they get elected, they don't even try to do anything they promised you? I would bet you some politicians are that way, and I'll bet you some really, really fight for what they were campaigning for.
Yeah.
So it applies to everything. It's not just people that kneel. It's not just people that are fans of teams. It applies to politics. It applies to society. It applies to, you know, I know, I'll give you an example. This is a small example, but I know my dad served on a board of directors, okay, when at an agricultural company when I was younger. And my dad and this board, some of these board members had all talked about something that was important, that they were going to make a statement at the next meeting. They were going to voice their concerns and they were going to do this and do that. You know what happened? Everybody was on board that he talked with. Everybody was on board and so forth and so on. So my dad gets up in front of this board of directors or whatever, and he says what they had just talked about. And then he turned for support. And you know what happened? They all shut the hell up and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Now that's, my dad walked the walk. The others, all they did was talk the talk.
Yeah.
And I think Max is right. I think there are people, athletes that do that. I think there are politicians that do that. I think there's entertainers that do that. I think there's people in your community that talk about, you need to do this, do that. I'll give another example. There are a lot of people talk about shopping local. I know people that don't shop local, but boy, they preach it.
Yeah.
So that's hypocritical. You're talking the talk, but then when it comes to getting a vehicle, you go out of town. You know, or you're all about local. You want this and that. And then you take all your money, or not all your money, but a big chunk of money. You go and you blow it in Kansas City or Salina, Wichita, Topeka, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, wherever you go. You go when you could get it maybe around here and keep it in the state or keep it in your county or keep it in your city. And you go out of town. And the next thing you know, some of those same people complain about the roads. Or they complain about the parks aren't clean. It's like, you do know what it takes to do that, yeah, right? It's called taxpayer dollars that you took out of town. There are people that preach local, 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 and don't practice it. And there are people that preach local, 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 and really, truly do walk the walk.
Yeah.
And then there's people that don't say anything about shop local, but truly keep things local. So it applies to anything and everything, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And here, and there's a lot there, but
sure.
It's, you know, one of the things I feel like not everybody uses a platform like that to show who they really are. You know what I'm saying? Is like, not everybody does that. Like you said, not everybody's going to come out here and preach shop local. They just do it. They don't tell everybody.
Yeah,
they don't make it public.
You don't have to preach.
They don't tell everybody that this is what we're doing. Like, I'm one of those people, honestly, you know, unless it's something I really believe in,
right.
You know, a lot of the things you'll see on my social media are things I believe in, like finding cures for muscular dystrophy and
right.
this. That's how I use my platform, okay?
Right.
As I try to use it for good and awareness, basically, whether it's financial, whether it's, I want you to know about this because it's real. It's
right.
Something that is affecting people in probably your everyday life that you don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of my platform is used for awareness, to be completely honest with you.
Which part of the awareness on the Shop Local campaign is to let people know, where does your money go? How is it spent?
Yeah.
Do you know that when you take it to Salina, that stays in that county, and that money ain't coming back to your community?
Yeah. And so it's just like, you know, what I would tell people about what we're talking about here is just have conviction in what you believe in.
That's a good point.
Whether you want to post it and show it to everybody, whether you want to do it at a game and take a knee. And, you know, we're talking about all this, too, and it kind of reminded me of, you know, you're talking about everybody has the rights and you know, stop worrying about so much about what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And it made
Focus
me think back yourself. About 3 weeks ago, and because I'm trying to figure out when this was, but when the National Women's Soccer League got going again, this Rachel Hill played for one of the teams, the Red Stars, and her whole team took a knee, but she stood up and had her hand over her heart for the national anthem. And so now she's getting ridiculed because she was standing up.
For something she believed in.
Yeah, for something she believed in, and she has her hand on the shoulder of another person that's kneeling. And it's like, you know, we don't take a step back and just understand that everybody has the right to do what they want to do.
Yes.
From that aspect.
Right.
No matter if they want to kneel, if they want to stand, you can't have it on the other side and go both ways here. And it's just like,
what you're
understand
saying
is take
respect.
A platform, do what you stand for,
right.
Believe in what you stand for with conviction.
Right.
And if that's not good enough for people.
In a respectful and courteous way.
And be respectful and courteous for sure. I mean,
the whole mask thing is a great example.
Yeah.
Of what we're talking about.
Well, sure, yeah.
I mean, everybody, it infringes on my liberties, da 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 da. Okay, first of all, you walk in to a store that you do not own. You do not pay, and maybe you don't even shop hardly. And you go in, and they tell you, and the sign says before you enter the place, I heard about this happen at a business last night in Beloit, where somebody from out of town or out of state walked into the business. It says on the door, it says mask required, or they want you to wear a mask.
Yeah.
The person walked in anyway, and they made a big fit about having to wear a mask. They was told to wear a mask, made a little bit of a stink about it. It's like, listen, first of all, do you know how to read? You shouldn't have walked in. If you didn't want to wear a mask, and then just don't go in the store. And then walk in and then try to tell people how to run something. Listen, if I walk into your house butt naked, or I go in your house and I start screaming at you obscenities, or I walk into your house and I tell you how to live your life, you have the right to call the cops and say I'm trespassing. You have the right to tell me to get the heck out of Dodge. You have a right to escort me out the house. I don't own anything. You paid taxes on your property, or you're renting your property, whatever. That's your place of residence, okay? So you can kick me out. But yet somehow people think, oh, my God, I'm going to make a stink about wearing a mask, and then how dare they call the police, or how dare they try to throw me out or be forceful with me or tell me I can't shop in their store. It's not your store.
Yeah.
So it goes down to what you just said. It's about having conviction what you believe in. However, you've got to do it in a respectful and, I think, courteous way. The mask is a great example. If you walk in and they tell you to wear a mask or you got to leave, then you know what? I think it's pretty simple. You either have a mask, you put it on, or you leave. It seems pretty clear-cut and easy for me to figure out how you defuse that situation, right?
Yes.
Okay? All right. So people that kneel during the anthem, are they causing a huge scene? All they're doing is kneeling. They're not even talking. They're not arguing. They're not yelling at anybody. And they are part of the production. They're part of the team. They're on the field. They're allowed to be there. They're not trespassing. There's no rule that says they can or cannot kneel during the anthem. So then it comes down to your belief. And you mentioned conviction. And you mentioned that soccer player standing while others knelt. It's like things have inverted from back when Colin Kaepernick started doing it, right? It was pretty much he knelt and everybody else stood. And now she gets vilified for standing, and Colin Kaepernick got vilified because he knelt. Isn't it weird how that's flipped?
Yeah.
It is weird dynamics in our country, no question about it. But you're absolutely right. You have a conviction in your beliefs is fine, but you need to do it in a reasonable manner. I mean, you know, you try to shove something down somebody's throat and they don't want to eat it. Is that going to make them eat it? No. And you get it shoved in their mouth. You're feeding your two-year-old, and the kid hates peas, right? But guy golly, that kid's going to like peas. You got to try it. You shove those peas in that kid's mouth. You're like, woohoo, got the peas shoved in their mouth. And then they spit them out.
Yeah.
They didn't swallow them. They don't know what they tasted like. They spit them out. They didn't swallow them. They didn't chew them. They didn't do whatever. You didn't win. you had this ideal that I'm going to make my kid eat peas. Well, guess what? You lost. Because you can't make them swallow it. Can you? Not that I know of.
No.
If you do, it's probably going to be abuse.
Yeah.
And they need to be reported. And that's kind of what I feel like in society today. I have this belief. I am in this way. I'm in this camp. And I'm going to shove this down your throat until you swallow it. You're gonna eat this whether you like it or not. And the other side's going, and I like this other thing. And you're going to eat it because that's what I like. How dare you tell me what to eat? So I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And it gets us nowhere. It gets us nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. When we can actually sit down like Nate Boyer and Colin Kaepernick did, I'll put a bow to the story. When Nate Boyer and Colin Kaepernick, a white man and a black man, can, and I'll repeat this story, Nate Boyer was not happy Colin Kaepernick was sitting during the anthem. He was pissed off. Sorry for my language. But he was ticked off. He said it. I played the interview before.
Yeah.
On this very show. And he reached out to Colin Kaepernick and said, maybe there's something I'm missing here. He wanted to better understand. And maybe he wanted to vent to Colin Kaepernick too a little bit. Who knows? And he reached out to Kaepernick, and Kaepernick replied, and they got together, and they sat down. Instead of spoiled brats, they sat down like grown men, or you could be grown women, sat down in a room and talked about it and actually listened to each other and came to a conclusion that honestly was kind of in the middle. Kaepernick wanted to sit down. Boyer didn't want him to sit down. And they came up with kneeling as kind of the compromise because Nate Boyer said it was a reverence of respect on the battlefield. And that's why he suggested kneeling. It's a matter of reverence to kneel and honor someone. And so Kaepernick did that, and then everything exploded. And people don't know the backstory. There are a lot of people in this country still don't know the backstory to that. So here's my point. If Nate Boyer, a guy that served our country in Afghanistan, served our country, a white man, can reach out to a man that he did not agree with at all, who was protesting during something that was very sacred to him, and that's the anthem. And he represented the red, white, and blue by serving our country and had comrades of his that died in battle. If he can sit down and understand the other side, and those two people can get together and hash out something and come to a conclusion of, hey, I get what you're coming from. Oh, cool. I get where you're coming from. Let's come up with a better way than just sitting on the bench by yourself. Why can't people in America do that? Why can't Joe Blow, why can't Jim and Jan, Mary and Becky and Bill and Bob, why can't we do the same thing? Because we refuse to.
Oh, yeah.
We refuse to. We don't want to actually consider an open dialogue. An open dialogue means two sides talk, but not at the same time. And I think there's the problem. It happens all the time. You know, you get an argument. You get an argument with your wife. You might get an argument with your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents, whatever. When you get in arguments, what happens? Two people talk at the same time, and nobody's listening. And guess what? It usually gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
And you don't even remember sometimes why it even started. You lost track of what the whole point was and why you got all upset with the other person. And I think we tend to do that in society too, don't you think? We get all upset about the mask, and it's not about the mask. Yeah. It's about something else.
Yeah.
It really isn't about the mask when you really look at it hard.
Well, no. It's...
it's all other things.
Oh, that's just life, you know, and it's like you're not gonna be able to get everybody to agree, no matter how hard you try to even to agree to have an open dialogue, is what I'm saying. It's like, no matter how hard you try, it's I think in a lot of our nature just to have an idea about something and stick to it.
Right.
You know, this is how I feel about it. You're not gonna change my mind. And I try not to be that way, but there's definitely some things even in my life that I'm that way on.
We're all stubborn to a
point. We all have that.
Sure.
And, but yeah, it's just, yeah, there's plenty of people that I know on my Facebook, I'm not going to change their mind about a mask.
No.
And there's plenty of, either side of it.
Right. Right. Right.
And that's where you're at right now.
And it's interesting, a text that said there's a wrong way and a right way. And you know what? I agree. I think most people agree. There's a right way and a wrong way to approach things. But here's the problem. It goes back to everything we're talking about. Your version of the right way to do something is different than somebody else's version of the right way. What I view as the right way might be the wrong way, according to somebody else. And thus, there's always going to be, there's no consistency to it. It might be right way. Dusty and I might have something we agree on, like, you know, that's the right way to handle it. And that's kind of where we are right now. We've got people saying the right way to handle this is not to kneel during the anthem. And other people saying, well, the right way to handle this is a peaceful protest. That's a very peaceful protest. We're not causing any violence. We're not going out and ravaging stores and breaking down windows. It's an extremely peaceful protest. We're not even talking during this protest. And I get both sides.
Yeah.
So what? That's what some people say that protest. So you don't want us to go marching down the streets. You don't want us to break windows, and you don't want us to be violent. So then we kneel during an anthem. And we are completely peaceful. We don't even say a word. We don't say bad words. And we just, you know, bow our head or whatever it may be when we kneel or look into the sky. And that's not the right way. Please help us understand what the right way is. I get that point. Yeah. Please, what is the right way? To stay home and not voice your opinion? Because I would argue that is not the right way. There is no protest if you sit home and complain but do nothing. So what is the right way? What is the wrong way? Everybody's version is different, and that's another reason why we have the problem with that argument or controversy and a lot of other things that happen in the world today. I will tell you right now, there's a lot of people that don't agree with our president on how he goes about things, and they say it's the wrong way. And there are a lot of people that'll say, well, he's doing it the right way. That's what he's got to do to get something done. We can't even agree on that.
No.
We can't even agree on what the right or the wrong way is. Now, maybe you, me, Max, and anybody else, we can agree collectively, which is great. But then we can go to another town, and they'll be like, that ain't working here.
Yeah.
That don't work here.
Right. And even, like you said, you have the right way and the wrong way. I got a real quick story. We were posting signs this weekend on the farm from my dad. He's had these signs for 100-year century farm and another honor that he got from the Soil Conservation District and Kansas Bank Association. But so one of the signs is a little bit shorter, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not as long as the other one. So we knew that we had to place the long one first. We're going to have to put another steel post in the middle, or not in the middle, but in between, mm-hmm. to make sure that they both go together. And so we put this post in between, and we couldn't quite get the top of the sign level compared to the bottom of the other sign. There's two signs that are going to go together. And we're trying to think, how can we do this? I said, well, what if you pull this end of this post out and level it out? Because that'll work. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it did. And we were like, well, Dad's like, I need a tool to pull that out of the ground a little bit better. And then as we were thinking, so that's the right way to do it, right, to even it out, is pull that that post on the edge to make it better.
Okay.
Okay, but then after he gets ready to go back to the shed to get that tool to pull it out, I'm like, oh, wait a second. Why don't we just hit the post in the middle of this one to level it out? Mm-hmm. You know, the one in between, we'll just hit that one to level the two signs and make sure they're flush. That's the second right way to do that. There's more than one right way to fix this problem.
Yes.
And it took me a couple minutes, took Dad a couple. Dad's like, oh, I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Right, sure.
I've been doing this way longer than you have, like this, you know.
Right.
But it was something that came to my mind, and that's the second right way to do it. Both of those ways are right.
Right.
Both of those ways will get you to your end object, right?
Right.
So there's more than one right way.
That's
and there's
right.
definitely more than one wrong way. There's endless wrong ways.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We could have done this. We could have pulled this side out, made it worse. We could have pounded this side into the ground more, mm-hmm. and made it worse. There's plenty of wrong ways to do things. There were two right ways to do that.
That's a good
and get it done.
That's a good analogy.
Right way, wrong way. Yeah. Right. But there's more than one right way sometimes.
That's a really good story. That's a good analogy. And then I can flip that a little bit too and say that. But see, there were two people that were willing to listen that worked out a way to figure it out instead of your dad.
And we had a common goal.
Right. And you can have a common goal but disagree on how to get there.
Yeah.
What happens if your dad was set on the first way and you suddenly were set on the second way and now you argue about it? Would that have done any good?
No.
No, because one of you is going to be mad because the other did it their way.
Yeah.
And but whereas there you talked it out and you're like, hey, this way works. Now, wait a minute. This is a better way. Why didn't I think about that? And you know what that required? One person talking at a time and the other person listening and going back and forth instead of yelling at each other or talking at the same time, shoving down what they think was right to somebody else or wrong. Yeah. So that's a great microcosm what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And that's the way it should be done.
Yes.
I think. But once again.
Maybe that's the right people, way. Maybe you think it's the wrong way.
Right. Maybe you think that's the wrong way. You should yell at each other to get something accomplished. That's how it was when I was raised. We just yelled at each other and things got done. Okay. Whatever. To each their own. Max, it is good to hear from you, my man. And Max, you just helped us fill 25 minutes. You are the man.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.